prime.com.
Attention ranchers and business owners. This is Brad with Prime Rate Motors, reminding you to take advantage of the $179 tax deduction on all trailers and approved vehicles now through December 31st. Think of it as an instant gratification when it comes to deducting the cost of a newly purchased ranch or business asset. Stop by Prime Rate Motors and take advantage of this $179 tax break before the end of the year. Prime Rate Motors and Super Trailer Store, 2305 Coffin Avenue, or visit us online at primeratemotors.com.
This time of year, everything in Wyoming gets tested. Your patience with the wind, your brakes on the ice, and especially your roof. At Brandon 307 Roofing and Exteriors, we know Wyoming weather, and we make sure that your roof passes the test. Our metal roofing, impact-resistant shingles, and expert work keep your cold out and the comfort in. Working with insurance, we take the hassle out of your hands. Go with the name you know. Call Brandon 307 Roofing and Exteriors, or visit us at Brandon307.com. Brandon 307, branding Wyoming, one home at a time.
Bricks and mortar, sticks and stone, a house is a house until you make it a home. Sandbox, hopscotch, yardstick on the wall, backyard soccer goal, laughter down the hall. This is Lisa Hansen with MC2 Realty. Don't settle for the first house that works. Let's find the one that's home. I'll put my years of experience and extensive knowledge of the local market to work for you. Buy or sell with confidence. Call me, Lisa Hansen, at 307-763-3964. And we'll start your home journey today.
The following message is presented by First Federal Bank and Trust, online at efirstfederal.bank.
If whiskey's for drinking and water's for fighting over, make sure you aren't empty-handed by using Sheridan Community Land Trust's Sheridan County Water Supply Report. Get the latest information about drought, precipitation, snowpack, stream flows, reservoir capacity, temperature and precipitation outlook, and more, delivered to your inbox for free each month. Sign up under the land tab at SheridanCLT.org.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Wednesday, November 12th, from Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, we're joined by Wyoming Game and Fish Department Public Information Specialist, Christina Schmidt. Good morning. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning.
How are the hunting seasons going? Are we still in the middle of them?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Here we are.
Yep. So, a lot of... some seasons have closed, depending on the species and license type. Others are... definitely still going. Whitetail season is upon us. Pheasant season opened November 1st. So, yeah, lots still going on.
Are the biologists bringing any information back? Do they kind of let you know, hey, it's a good hunting season, it's poorer than usual? I mean, do they give you those kind of numbers or updates?
Yeah, so kind of what I've been hearing is... pronghorn deer, about average for harvest. One real positive thing, one of the biologists said body condition on the deer look really, really good this year.
Oh, wow.
So the ones that are coming in are in really good shape. So that's real positive. Elk seems to have been a little more of a challenge. You know, people are harvesting, but maybe, you know, I've talked to several people who said they just aren't seeing them in the same places they usually see them or have seen them in the past. So... but of course, we've got this very nice, long, warm fall going on. And so anyway, it's just a little different. And but folks are still harvesting. Populations of sharptail and Hungarian partridge. Here, those are really good. And one of the wardens said he saw a lot of people out in October doing upland bird hunting when sometimes the focus is more big game. So and he also said he's seeing not near as many violations in the field as
Oh, fantastic.
So lots of good news. Yeah,
that is good news. Now, when and where will the public meeting on proposed black bear hunting seasons take place? Good, but this doesn't start till December, right?
Correct. We have our black bear seasons are set on a 3-year rotation, so. Coming up here this whole month, they will be having public meetings around the state. And our meeting here in the Sheridan region will be December 1st at 5 o'clock at the Sheridan Regional Office. And we will have large carnivore biologists. So we have a team of biologists that work statewide, helping set these seasons. So they're evaluating all the data, those kinds of things. And then they will be here along with our local wildlife managers. So different folks here that you can come and ask questions to, make comments to. And like I said, it's every 3 years. So this is, if you hunt black bear, you want to make comments, this is the meeting to come to.
Are any proposals being put forth as of yet for any changes or alterations, or do we not have that information as of yet?
So it will be coming out shortly. So they are still processing some of that. Again, it's a little early in November. Meeting's not till December 1st, but a little later in November, all of these will be posted on our website. So if you go to our website and click on the top right, it says Get Involved. And that's where we list all of our public meetings and what's open for comment. So folks can go there. It's pretty helpful how they have it set up. You can look at the document. Any changes are highlighted in red, so you can see actually what the changes are. A lot of times they'll put a statement of reason. So if they're changing, you know, certain things or wording, things like that, they'll actually just make an explanation. Here's why this change is being made. So really helpful information. It's just not posted quite yet. It will be here pretty soon, so just keep an eye out on that Get Involved tab.
When is the deadline for public comment on any of these proposals?
So I believe it's December 8th at 5 p.m., so you'll have some time after the meeting. And for public comment, there's several ways you can make that. So we will have comment sheets at the meeting, so you can leave a comment right then and there if you want. You can always take that with you. A lot of people, especially with our season setting meetings in the spring, they'll take it home, think about it, write out their comment and mail it in. So you can certainly do that. Or online. We do have an online option, so you can hop on our website and make a comment directly there.
Now, when it comes to the black bear, it's just like any other hunting regulation change proposal. It's got to go before the commission, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And one thing that I do like to specify to everybody who's listening, the commission reads every single one of these comments, don't they?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And so this one, and again, that's why you have the comment deadline, because that gives time for all of the comments to be compiled and sent to the commission prior to the meeting. So again, December 8th will be the deadline, and then it will be discussed at the January 2026 commission meeting.
And they really do put a lot of weight on what the public has to say, don't they?
Absolutely. Wildlife is a public resource.
All right. Now, we've seen a lot of wildlife on the road lately. I know I have. I almost had a run-in with a buck about 2 days ago. I'm one of those guys. I'm driving, and I know he sees me, I see him, and I think he's going to dart off, you know, the other way. He's going to be afraid of the freeway. Oh, no, he stood right there like a statue, as if cars did not bother him at all. It's incredible. Why are we seeing so many right now?
Well, the time change certainly increases, unfortunately, wildlife and vehicle collisions. So we do see an uptick this time of year. It just, you know, that low light at the end of the day, beginning of the day, this time of year, it just coincides. Animals are moving at that time and people are driving to and from work at that time. So, yes, I definitely have seen it. I'm one of those like you. Yeah. I have a fairly long commute going home, and boy, I slow way down this time of year because, like you said, and especially if you have headlights, they can't see what's behind those headlights. They just don't know. So, I drive very slow, and I know, and I'm sure most people, if you have a commute you make every day, you know the hot spots. You know where, and I always slow down. I've got three of them on my way home that I know, okay, I'm going to slow down because they can be right here. And yeah, it's hard for them to see vehicles coming with lights on, but it's hard for us to see them, you know, until you're right there. So yeah, definitely a good time of year to slow down a little bit, pay more attention, have your brights on when you can, take a look, because they are out there, they are out moving around, and unfortunately we do see increased collisions.
You know, that it's come to the point where that's part of the goodbye for me and my wife. It's like, love you, hope you have a good day, watch for deer.
Watch for deer. Watch yes. For deer. Yes.
Because
yes.
She goes the other way. I go this way. And we both know, you know, each hot spot. That exactly what you're talking about. I know the spot. And that buck the other day was exactly where I figured he would be. Now, something that you and I actually do talk a lot about, but I do like to bring it up every chance I get, and that is, it is important to assume the second or third.
Yes, absolutely.
Always, always, always.
Yes, if one crosses ahead of you safely, even though that one has crossed the road and it's gone, boy, keep an eye out for a second or a third or even more. Unfortunately, you do see a lot of fawns hit because mom will cross, fawn will hesitate just a second or two, follow across, and they get hit. So unfortunately, we do see that as well. So always assume there's more. If you see one, there's a really good chance there's at least one, two, three more coming behind it.
You and I, like so many others, you know, it's fairly early in the morning when we take off. I have seen myself animals still left in the road from what looks to be like a pretty bad accident. Mm-hmm. They haven't been drug off. What should somebody do if they do hit a deer? What's the best move after that?
So, you know, obviously, most people will pull over, check for damage, see if the animal is injured, still alive. So if the animal is still alive, it is not legal to euthanize it yourself. You do need to call. So you can call our Stop Poaching hotline at any time. If you call, if it's during office hours, you know, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, you can call the Sheridan office. We're going to get someone there. If it's after hours, again, these low light times where, you know.
They're on the move.
They're on the move and it's past 5 o'clock. Call that Stop Poaching hotline. So it's 877-WGFD-TIP. It operates 24 hours. And so they are going to get that message to you know, a game warden or a biologist to go and evaluate the animal. Very rarely, but it has happened. The animal's kind of stunned. Biologist or warden gets there. It's going to be okay. They leave it. That's not right. Usually what happens. Usually, unfortunately, they're going to have injuries.
But there has been.
But it has happened.
Oh, low velocity impacts, I guess we could
for
say.
Sure. So that does happen. So they'll make that decision when they get there to evaluate, you know, what kind of injury they have. And, so that is, definitely something to do if the animal's still alive. You know, definitely call, especially, you know, boy, if you've got damage to your vehicle, call law enforcement. It's unfortunate. It's one of those things you just don't want to have happen this hit a day. It just, it causes damage to your car. It's scary. It can injure people, injured animals. So prevention goes a long way. Just slowing down a little bit, paying attention.
I actually had a lieutenant a number of years ago. He was returning from a drill and he was injured because mm-hmm. the buck came through the windshield and hurt him pretty bad, actually. 3 a.m. in the morning. He didn't have anything else to do but load it up. He drove it to the local game and fish office, dropped it off, and then drove himself directly to the hospital where he got a number of stitches. Oh, it was absolutely horrible. Gosh, so it does happen. Folks, just make sure that you're taking your time during these low light hours. They're on the move out there right now. Now, the YDOT 511 app, what exactly is that? How do folks use it? Where can they pick it up?
Yep. So you can download that to your phone. We've had it for quite a while. YDOT operates it actually, but there is it's a road app, but within there is a roadkill application. So you know, folks will remember a few years ago they did make it legal to collect roadkill if you so choose, and that's the way you would do it is go through this app. So as you go through the app, it'll ask you know where you are, what species you hit, if the animal's still alive, if it's deceased, and then it will ask you if you do want to collect any part of it.
So now you don't need a license or anything, right?
So you do have to go through this app. So that is the permission. And what it will do is based on the questions that you answer, it will give you or not give you permission to harvest or to take that animal. So there's some places that you cannot take roadkill for safety reasons. So like in construction zones, on interstates, places like that, where it's just not safe to get out and be doing what you need to do to take that animal.
An animal, yeah.
And some species, like, you know, if someone were to hit, you know, a grizzly bear or something like that, you know, you're not going to be able to take that home. So based on the answers that you provide, you will either get permission or not get permission. If you do get permission, if you do take it, you do have to take the entirety of the animal. So you can't, like you said, field dress it on the side of the road. You do have to take the entire thing. You can process what you are able to keep. And then you do, for deer, elk, moose, you do have to follow disposal rules and get the remainder of that carcass into an approved landfill when you're done. So
CWD, still a factor.
So, it is possible to do. There's just some parameters and some rules to follow.
Okay, so make sure you got that app on your phone, folks, if that's something that you're interested in doing. If that should happen to you, by all means, do not go out trying to do it. All right, on that, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have more with our Wyoming Game and Fish Department when we return. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Community Cupboard.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
This holiday season, give a gift that shines with meaning from Legacy Diamond and Gems, family owned and operated since 1964. Legacy is Sheridan's trusted jeweler for generations and Sheridan's only GIA graduate gemologist and one of only three in the state. With their creative team of bench jewelers on site, you'll find true craftsmanship and service that lasts a lifetime. Legacy Diamond and Gems, where your story becomes part of ours. Doug, every year I give terrible Christmas gifts. Last year I gave my brother World's Okayest Brother Mug.
Wow, you really need to redeem yourself. Well, the Waring Chevrolet Detail Shop can help with detailing gift certificates. It's the gift that says, I love you, and your car smells weird.
Okay, great. I'll skip your embroidered socks and sweaters then.
Yeah, Bob, good idea. Give the gift of clean with Waring Chevrolet Detail Gift Certificates. Stop by at 409 Broadway in Sheridan.
This Friday, the Bighorn Ram football team will be looking to finish off their season undefeated and win their second state championship in a row and their third in 4 years, this time taking on the Mountain View Buffaloes at War Memorial Stadium in Laramie. If you can't make the trip, don't worry. Sheridan Media will bring you all the live action on 1410 AM and 106.9 FM KWYO. It's the Rams versus the Buffaloes for the 2A Wyoming State Championship this Friday, with kickoff set for noon, only on 1410 AM and 106.9 FM KWYO.
This holiday season, give your sleigh the gift of confidence on the road. Midas Tire and Auto is keeping you rolling safely through the winter weather while saving you big with these Black Friday deals for your wheels. Right now, get $100 off a set of four tires, including trusted brands like Toyo, Goodyear, and BF Goodrich. Plus, manufacturer rebates up to $100 from Cooper, Hancock, and Michelin, keeping you safe on the road this holiday season. Midas Tire and Auto in Sheridan.
Are you looking to make extra cash and sell your unwanted items? Go to SheridanMedia.com, post your items for free, or choose from our menu of options. You can have your items posted in the Country Bounty, read on Swap Shop, or listed on the front page of SheridanMedia.com. Go to the classified section on SheridanMedia.com. Let's get your items sold and turned into cash. If you're a business owner, you can post your employment opportunities. It's all right there, classified section, SheridanMedia.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. This morning, we're speaking with Wyoming Game and Fish Department Public Information Specialist, Christina Schmidt. Now, we've talked about this in the past with Sheridan Community Land Trust. We've covered a couple different events that they've had out there. Let's talk about virtual fencing. Christina, I know a lot of individuals out there who listen to the show understand what it is, but there are a few who do not. What is virtual fencing, and how does it differ from traditional fencing methods?
Yeah, so this is a method of controlling livestock movement. So livestock will have a collar, an electric collar on, that receives auditory and low-level shocks from or vibrations from the collar. So a lot of people would equate it to, say, what people sometimes have with a dog, with an invisible fence with a dog. So you make an outline with, you know, where you want a dog to stay within, you know, the boundaries, and they have a collar that, again, as they approach it, they get some auditory cues, and then if they get too close, maybe you know, a buzz from the collar. So this is basically the same thing for livestock. So what it does is it allows producers to use, you know, control livestock movement through collars rather than physical fences.
Literally no physical fence out there at all. Signals are sent from towers out there in the fields.
Yes, that's my understanding. And this is all new for me too. Game and Fish, along with multiple partners, so most of the conservation districts in Northeast Wyoming, along with some nonprofits, such as Pheasants Forever, the Ricketts Conservation Fund, several others. There's about 11 of us that have come together to offer this. It's a new technology. Folks don't know much about it. Like I said, I don't know much about it, so I'm going to be learning. But we decided, you know, it's so new and has, you know, maybe some really good applications for producers in terms of reducing the need to build, repair, maintain physical fences. And then on the conservation end, you know, you can control livestock movement to reach some conservation goals. Maybe you want to incorporate rotational grazing or limit their time in riparian areas or sensitive areas. And then, of course, with fences and wildlife, you know, if there are fewer fences out there, those are fewer fences that might potentially alter an animal's movement, you know, as they try to get around a fence. Unfortunately, sometimes they get entangled. So lots of different benefits to virtual fence, though. Part of what we're trying to do with this symposium is provide a holistic view of what virtual fence might do. So we're going to have a symposium. It's an educational opportunity for folks who are interested in learning about virtual fence. It will be over in Gillette at the Camplex on January 8th, 2026. And the way it is set up, there will be four manufacturers who produce this equipment. They will be there explaining how their particular systems work. Again, they're all a little bit different in how they operate. So they will each discuss, you know, their product and how it works and how they work directly with producers to, you know, install and get someone going with it. We are going to have nonprofit organizations, some government agencies there to discuss funding opportunities, getting started if you want to get started in virtual fence. Maybe what some policies are on public lands for folks who want to use virtual fence. And then we're going to have actual producers who have used the technology and have, again, an honest discussion of how does it work? Has it had some challenges?
Are there any cons?
You know, everything has pros and cons. So this is just a chance for people to hear from people who have actually used it and ask questions of both producers and manufacturers, like, is this right for my operation? So That's the goal of it, is really educational.
When it comes to the Wyoming Game and Fish, the interest from the Game and Fish in this entire thing has really got everything to do with conservation and migration corridors and just kind of opening up areas, right?
Yeah. So, you know, private landowners, agricultural producers are big partners. They provide wildlife habitat, and we work on many, many different, you know, habitat improvement projects of different sorts with producers. So this is just another way that we certainly see that, you know, we come together with producers to have mutual benefits for livestock, for habitat, for wildlife.
And, you know, I've had conversations regarding this technology before. A lot of people know my old man. He's into cattle himself. He's got to go out and fix fence. He's 80 years old. The next time that man fixes fence, he's going to end up being 81 years old. And so to think that he could go out there in his little side-by-side and just check a tower or two, as opposed to spend 2 to 3 weeks going over that entire property, trying to fix it all himself. I really like the idea of this stuff. And I think there's, you know, like you said, there's always cons to everything. But having open discussions about this, solving those problems together, excellent opportunity. Do local producers here have to register, or can they just show up?
We do need registration, please. So through December 15th, we'll take reservations. And that's because we are going to provide a lunch for everyone. So it's going to be all day, 8 to 4 approximately.
It's a plan on being there.
Yeah, so it is all day. We've got a lot to cover, and we're leaving plenty of time for one-on-one discussions. So producers can visit with manufacturers directly. They can discuss with other producers. So we're trying to make a combination of presentations and conversations. And so we do need an RSVP just so we can plan, you know, have enough seating for everyone, snacks, and lunch. So if you go to the Game and Fish website, I'm kind of compiling all the RSVPs.
Oh, perfect.
You can either go to the Sheridan Regional page under events, or you can just go to news and events on our website. You can take a look at the agenda, and there's an RSVP form right there. You just answer a couple questions, send it in, and we'll get your name down for it. So
that's fantastic. So get on there, folks. Register for this. Go check out this new technology. I'm sure that you've got a lot better questions than even what I can come up with here, based on terrain and signal and effects on your herd. So write those questions down. Register for this event. Head over there and see what these folks have to say. And you never know, we might transform the look of the area. Moving on down the line, we've got the youth and family pheasant hunts in our area set to begin this weekend. How's it looking? What opportunities are actually available for the young hunters here in the Sheridan region this month?
We are pretty lucky. We've had two really popular events offered for several years. So one of them is the Bud Love Youth Hunt. So this is specific for youth. So it's going to be 17 and under. So this is one of our wildlife habitat management areas owned by the Game and Fish Commission, and they set aside one day every year for youth only for pheasant hunting. So this year that will be Saturday, November 15th, and on that day, youth are welcome to come out. There's no start time, you know, for the event, just, you know, regular legal restrictions for shooting, but as far as the event itself, there's no formal start time or anything like that. People can come and go through the day. A lot of times we have young people from Buffalo who come out in the morning, go home at lunch, eat, take a nap, come back later in the afternoon. We've had people come up from Casper.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we've had a lot of great attendance. So it's just a great opportunity for kids to come out and have a chance at harvesting a pheasant. Youth only on that day, but adults can access the unit to hunt other species. So we get that question a lot. Well, you know, I want to come out and hunt elk, or I need to, you know, want to do
this. That's my hunting area.
Yeah, so it's just for pheasants is the youth. And so, you know, adults can access the area for other things. But it's been very popular. You do need to wear Hunter Orange on the unit. You do need to have a special management stamp, a pheasant special management stamp. You do need to have Hunter Ed. So all of those legal requirements are required. And certainly if anyone has questions, give a call. But basically, it's just a fun day for youth to come out. And like I said, we usually have, especially if the weather's nice, we'll have really great attendance.
That's awesome. And yes, make sure that you're wearing your Hunter Orange, especially when you got that many individuals in one area. Now, before I ask too many other questions, one thing that I did want to specify is I saw some new benches out there at the Bud Love. Have you gone out and saw those?
I have not been out there yet. Yeah, I haven't made it. So,
what a great story.
Yeah, I'm going to try and be out there this weekend and check it out. So, yes, Ian Gale did build some benches as part of an Eagle Scout project and installed those out there. And, yeah, if you haven't been to Bud Love, it's such a great spot, beautiful place. It's one of our older habitat management areas. It's been owned by Game and Fish for over 50 years, so it's been there quite a long time, and it's just a beautiful place.
Yeah,
beautiful place to get
a lot of people that go out there and just kind of walk around.
Absolutely. Yeah, and same with, you know, Amsden and Kearns and all of these Game and Fish properties. So they're managed as wildlife habitat, but you know, recreation is allowed as long as it doesn't interfere with the original purpose of that, which is for most of these big game winter range. So that's why they're closed for annual seasonal closures in the winter, is to give those animals a quiet space during the winter. But during the rest of the year when it's open, you know, people come out and bird. You know, bird watching is very popular. People bring horses out, go horseback riding. People go hiking, photography, looking for wildflowers. I mean, there's a lot of recreational opportunities.
Is that kind of a higher chance to see wildlife? I mean, I know there's absolutely no guarantee whatsoever that you're going to see anything anytime you step out of your door. But if you were to try and improve your chances to maybe grandma's coming from back east or farther west and she's never seen something like that before, is that where you would take her?
Sure. You know, like you said, depends on what you want to see. Especially like, you know, Amsden and Kearns, for example, a lot of people look for elk. They're going to be there at certain times of the year and not necessarily always around in big numbers at other times of the year. Birding, like I said, these are really pretty popular destinations for folks come to look for birds. And again, seasonally, depending on when you're out there, you're going to see different birds. You know, you come out in the spring, you get all of those arrivals showing up that have been gone all winter. And, you know, again, coming back through in the fall, different species that would be moving through going south. So it depends on what time of year you go, what time of day you go, all of that. You know, bring your binoculars, find somewhere quiet to sit or walk. And yeah, it's they really are wildlife-rich places.
Now, another great pheasant hunting event is going to be happening up at Fort Phil Kearny.
Yes, they have had a family pheasant hunt for several years, and you'll notice this is different when we say family pheasant hunt. So whereas with Bud Love, adults are welcome and encouraged and required, if your youth hunter is young enough, you do need to attend with your youth hunter. At Bud Love. But the adult is not allowed to harvest pheasants, so we encourage them to go and just be there and support them, but they can't harvest pheasants. Whereas the family pheasant hunt at Fort Phil Kearny is truly a family event, and everyone is encouraged to go hunt together. Again, very popular. People like to go out there, and so this is the Thanksgiving weekend that they always have it, and you do have to pay the regular park entrance fee. So it's $4 for residents, $8 for non-residents. And all the same rules apply as with Bud Love. You know, you need a special management stamp for pheasants, hunter education, or be in the Hunter Mentor Program. You know, all of those same regulations apply, but it is really a family event.
And that sounds like it's going to be, you know, as you said, it's well attended every year. Great opportunity. Get everybody together. Head out there and just, I mean, what a great day out.
It is. Our Access Yes coordinator goes out there every year and visits with folks, and he just thinks it's so great, you know, gets to visit with so many people who are just having a good time. A lot of people have family in town.
Yeah.
They go out. So yeah, it's just a lot of fun.
Beautiful area.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Great
yeah.
opportunity. Hopefully the weather holds up for you guys. Christine, I want to thank you so much for coming in this morning. It is always a pleasure, my friend.
Thanks for having me.
When we return, we're going to speak with Dr. Eric Richards from the Sheridan College. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
You know what makes a big difference in life?
I know, making smart money choices.
That's why First Federal Bank and Trust partners with local schools and organizations to teach financial basics.
They make it fun and interactive with free materials, bank tours, and real conversations.
And we tailor everything to fit your classroom or group.
I want to get started right now.
You can learn more at efirstfederal.bank. First Federal Bank and Trust.
Investing in strong financial futures.
5 incredible years of Solitude Spa, a dream that wouldn't be possible without Sheridan's incredible support. We're celebrating big on Wednesday, November 12th from 4 to 7 p.m. with food, drinks, our biggest product and service specials of the year, over $30,000 in giveaways of products and services, and our infamous swag bags to the first 50 people through the door. It's all things autumn. Wear your favorite cozy sweater, bring a friend, and let's celebrate. Check Facebook and Instagram for more details.
Mossholder's Design Center is running its final dining room sale of the year. That means you can save on all in-stock dining room furniture and have a brand new look in time for Thanksgiving and Christmas. Mossholder's also has a large in-stock selection of bar stools, so you can add seating for all your guests this holiday season. Even if you can't find your perfect set in-store, Mossholder's is discounting all special orders too, so you can order the style that best fits your home. Shop early for the best in-stock selection and have it in time for the holidays. That's Mossholder's Dining Sale, going on now. Mossholder's, furniture is our passion.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. For our second part this morning, we're joined by Sheridan College Director of Bands and Jazz Studies, Dr. Eric Richards. Good morning, Doc. Welcome back.
Good morning, Floyd. It's great to be here once again.
Love having you on the show.
Thank you.
How are things up at the college? Everything clicking along?
Yes, we are all rolling in the music area. Lots of great teaching and music making. And we are in gear and in full production, getting ready to present what is my favorite production of the year, our holiday swing concert.
And this is huge. I mean, yep. I got to looking at what you sent me, and there are a lot of individuals showing up this year.
Yeah, like they used to say in the old movie promos, we have a cast of thousands. Well, not really thousands, but a lot of people.
A lot of folks. And, you know, one thing that I always love about talking to the college is it's not just who's on the stage, it's who's behind the stage as well.
Yep.
It's the lighting, it's the production, it's all students.
Yeah. Yes. But we are, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because they are our unsung heroes. And we are led by a fantastic technical director in the Whitney Center. I have to remind myself to give him more credit because he is at the key of the success of so many of our productions. His name is Jake Hirschman. And he has a fantastic professional resume as a technical director. He's has a college degree in production from one of the best programs in Colorado. He worked for a number of years in professional venues before coming to us here at Sheridan, and he is a Sheridan alum, so
there's
a strong connection. And so he is a technical expert at all that multidimensionality, light, sound, and so forth. And then on top of that, he's able to oversee this crew of students, which they are all fantastic human beings and highly energized. But you can imagine that can be challenging sometimes. And he does it fantastically. So I want to send a big love out there to Jake because anybody in the performing arts knows that a great production rests or fails on that technical. You can have technical support. You can have the best music, drama, dance, whatever it is. But if you do not have your A team led by an able technical director – it doesn't happen. So we're very grateful for Jake.
It becomes very distracting.
Yeah, I know,
you
know, right?
Lights and all this stuff. If you can kind of tell when something's not going right.
Well, it's kind of like IT. You don't notice anything until something goes wrong.
Yeah, exactly. No news is good news
there
when
you
it
go.
Comes to that
exactly
kind of thing.
Right.
Now, what can audiences expect from this year's holiday swing concert?
Well, we have a wide array of Christmas, holiday, Hanukkah, jazz, music that we are going to present for them. And it's in two halves, and the first half of the concert is more classically oriented and will feature our symphony band.
Oh, wow.
And we'll be presenting pieces that lean a little more in that direction. We start with kind of a tradition. This goes all the way back to one of my first holiday swing concerts when our then president, Paul Young, who is like Mr. Christmas. He was a huge fan of Christmas and this concert, and he basically issued a presidential edict that in a regular rotation, the concert will start with Leroy Anderson's Sleigh Ride. So he is now in retirement, but we lovingly dedicate this first, the holiday swing opener to him every other year. So we start with that classic, and then we're going into the Ukrainian Bell Carol, which is very recognizable. We have an exciting arrangement of that by Sean O'Loughlin. Then we're going to play a beautifully orchestrated setting of the hymn Greensleeves.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, this is so pretty, and it's become a classic of the wind band literature. This particular arrangement was written by the late Dr. Alfred Reed, who was a composer, arranger, educator at the University of Miami in Florida. And this is really, in my opinion, the best setting of Greensleeves for wind band. Then we bring out our first set of guest soloists, the 20 guest soloists of the Sheridan County Youth Choir. So they're going to come and join us on a brand new arrangement I just wrote of the British Christmas hymn Once in Royal David City. And that came about when I went to their director, Tyler Rogers, who a wonderful educator and musician, percussionist, pianist. And when we started talking about how we could possibly collaborate with the youth choir, he said, we would love to have an arrangement written of this, of Once in Royal David City. And I happily obliged. And so that's now in production. They'll be joining us for that. And then what? Okay. Then, it's not just Christmas that occurs at this time of year. Other religious traditions have holidays that they celebrate. And so we always try to pay tribute to and celebrate Hanukkah. And so we have a setting of two Hanukkah themes that I wrote. This was commissioned, maybe 15 years ago by the United States Air Force Heritage of America Band. And so that contains two Hanukkah themes, Most Zur, which is Rock of Ages. It's kind of an anthemic type of theme. And then this rockin' klezmer. Klezmer is like, if you don't know what that is, it's like Jewish instrumental. If you can imagine a hybrid of Jewish music and Dixieland music, it has a lot of similar sounds. And so that ends with this this romping klezmer version of a tune called Oy Hanukkah. You know, every religious tradition has stress at the holidays. And so that tune kind of humorously pays that and pays tribute to that. And then we're going to end with another premiere of a new setting of the hymn Yesu Bambino, which I wrote for our guest soloist, a guest vocal soloist. We have a wonderful musician from Billings coming in, Marie Smith. And she is going to be joined by Sheridan's own Allison Dooley, another wonderful and multidimensional musician on violin. And that ends the first half.
Wow. That is a lineup. How long does it take you to sit and write a song, to compose something like that?
Well, I appreciate that question. I just want to be clear, we're talking about arrangements. So this is not, this is me taking an existing theme and then developing it into something new, like a brand new context. So someone else wrote the DNA and I'm kind of morphing it into a new creature. So I've been doing this for 40 years. So it takes a lot of time where I call it my sitting and thinking time, where I'm just sitting and literally thinking and basically working out how this music is going to unfold. And then once I get to actually start writing, whether it's with pencil or with a computer, that typically goes very quickly. So I don't know, depending on the length of the project, it might take 8 hours, or a big project might take a few days. Computers make things very helpful, because you can try ideas and see. You have to understand that the computer mock-up of a musical idea is kind of a two-dimensional representation of a four-dimensional thought once you give it to real musicians and everything. But it does help if you're thinking, I wonder, I have an idea for this type of musical device here. I wonder if this might work. So it allows you to kind of simulate it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll tell you, it really comes in handy. It really speeds up the process when you have to create the actual music score, you know, the paper document that shows a conductor what's going on, and then all of the individual parts. Like when you write an arrangement for a concert band, there might be 20 parts: first flute, second flute, first clarinet. You know, I won't belabor the point, but a lot of stuff going on.
Wow.
So it's kind of like a little bit like managing air traffic control. Yeah. There's a lot going on there. So.
A lot of planes in the sky.
A lot of planes in the sky. And yeah.
All right, second part of the holiday swing. What
yes,
do we got?
Sir. That's the jazz part of the... Well, actually, jazz and a number of other styles. So that's the jazz band with our special guest, and we're going to come out with this great swing treatment of Winter Wonderland. It's a fantastic big band arrangement, kind of in the Count Basie style. And then we have another swing arrangement. This sounds crazy, but it works, of the First Noel.
Oh.
But done in a jazz big band swing style. It's a fantastic arrangement. Then our jazz band has one of the most naturally, amazingly gifted musicians I have ever heard. He teaches English at the junior high school, but he could have easily been a professional musician. His name's Tim Doolin. And on flugelhorn, he's going to play Mel Torme's classic, The Christmas Song.
Oh, wow.
We rehearsed it last week, and he just sounds fantastic. Then I think it's really important that we're involving our students and community musicians in the ensembles, in the bands. We have these professional soloists coming in, but I think it's important to have a student soloist so the audience can hear what our music students, students who are majoring in music at the college, what they're doing. And we're very fortunate to have a first-year music student who really is sounding good as a vocal soloist. Her name's Ivy Dillon. She came to us from Tongue River, and she's going to come out and sing this jazz version of Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Oh, fantastic.
Now, should I keep going?
Go, keep going.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now this is a holiday swing first. So I try to be very ecumenical in my programming. We do classical music. We do swing. We do funk. We do world music. So for the first time, we are going to try bluegrass.
Oh, wow.
So, yes. So I asked Allison. Now, I have to brag about Allison. She's a fantastic classical violinist, but it is so rare that a classical violinist also has strengths in adjacent areas like pop, rock, jazz, funk, which she does. She's played in all those kinds of bands. And last year when we were talking about her possibly joining us, she said it would be fun to do some kind of bluegrass treatment of a Christmas song. So I thought about it for a while, and I thought, kind of with her bluegrass, playing bluegrass fiddle. And I thought about it. And so I thought, I think I can make God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen work as a bluegrass tune. So imagine, if you will, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen in the style of Rawhide. And we rehearsed it last night, and it really sounds fun. So I called it God Rest Ye Merry Gentlepokes. And we're going to premiere that. And then finally, the concert finale, this has become our tradition. We pay tribute, to the history of the African-American spiritual. And so we're doing an arrangement. We do this at the end of every holiday swing concert for the last several years. It's a gospel funk arrangement of Go Tell It on the Mountain. We'll bring Marie back to sing. Allison will play some jazz violin. We'll bring the Sheridan County Youth Choir to join us. And that's how the concert ends. So I think it's going to be very uplifting and exciting for all of the audience, and frankly, all of the musicians as well.
Absolutely. What a fantastic way to kick off the season.
Right on.
When and where can folks see this, Doc?
Okay, so Because this concert has been pretty well attended in the past, we've expanded to two shows. We used to just do one show. So the first concert is Friday, December 5th at 7 p.m. And then we've decided to add, we did this the last time I was directing this, we decided to add a Saturday matinee on December 6th at 4 p.m. Tickets are free, but you have to get them in advance because the house is typically packed.
Yeah, I was going to say, this show goes fast.
Yes, it does go very fast. And it's pretty popular, and so you can get those tickets at our Sheridan Arts website. Super easy, sheridan.edu/arts. That tells you all about our great arts programs at the college, not just music, but drama, theater, etc. And if you go to the bottom of that webpage, there's a listing of all of our arts events. So scroll over until you see Holiday Swing, and you can click right in there and get your tickets.
Fantastic. And Doc, I don't have much time left, but one thing that I've always wondered is the unique experience students coming together with these, you know, esteemed professionals. That's got to be such a gift, you know, to be able to sit and speak with somebody who's been down the road
right.
a time or two. And so I really do appreciate all these pros coming out and doing concerts like this and sitting with the students and speaking with them. And the Sheridan Youth Choir, I mean, they've got an amazing set of vocalists right there.
Yeah,
so they can sit and have a conversation and see if that's something that they wanted to do.
Absolutely. You know, from my experience as an undergraduate and graduate student, some of the most important memories that were formed in my mind as an aspiring professional was the chance to do exactly that, to have a conversation with a working professional that tells you how it is and what the realities are. And yet inspires you to, if that's your path, inspires you to go on and become a creative artist or music educator or wherever it is that your path lies in the arts.
Absolutely. Doc, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Floyd. We always greatly appreciate it. Thank you for your support of Sheridan College Performing Arts.
Absolutely. I love you guys over there. And you've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Community Cupboard.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
When it comes to Wyoming, your roof takes the hits. Hail, wind, snow, and sun. That's why Brandon 307 Roofing and Exteriors installs metal roofing built to last. From commercial-grade R-panel, residential metal roofs, and our impact-resistant 24-gauge standing seam systems, every option is engineered for strength, longevity, and performance. When you want protection that lasts a lifetime, call Brandon 307 for your free inspection. Quality materials, quality installation, local experience you can count on. Visit Brandon307.com. Brandon 307, Branding Wyoming, one home at a time.
Doug, I finally found the perfect gift that doesn't come in the wrong size.
Let me guess. Detailing gift certificates from Waring Chevrolet Detail Shop?
Yeah, no batteries, no assembly required. Makes their car look brand new.
It's the gift that says I care, and also, your car smells weird.
Buy a gift certificate, wrap it up, and boom, holiday hero.
That's us, Waring Chevrolet, making cars shine brighter than your Christmas tree.
The Waring Chevrolet Detail Shop, open now, 409 Broadway in Sheridan.
Wyoming basketball fans, single game tickets are on sale now. Whether it's the Cowboys and Cowgirls driving to the basket or sinking that clutch three, you won't want to miss a moment of the action in the Dome of Doom. Get your single game tickets now and be a part of every big play, every buzzer beater, and every victory. Cheer on the Cowboys and Cowgirls this year by visiting gowild.com/tickets to secure your seat.
When you think holidays, think Frackletons. When it's time to gather for the holidays, make it memorable by making it Frackletons. Whether it's your company party or a get-together with friends and family, Frackletons delivers the perfect mix of upscale dining, handcrafted cocktails, and that festive charm. Book your holiday party now. Dates fill fast. Frackletons, Main Street, downtown Sheridan. Or visit